Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Palm Sunday, a Palm Sunday that we will never forget. We'll continue to be asked to stay at home. We'll continue to keep social distancing. No gatherings of 10 people are allowed, which means no church today. A mandate made by Governor Reynolds, a mandate for our own protection. And maybe today you are traveling down the highway and you have turned on to KBOE 104.9 FM and you've turned us in today. I hope that today, as you're traveling, that two things, that you continue to keep safe and also to continue to stay healthy. It's important. It's essential. It's the guidelines that has been not only as the federal government mandates, but also to within our state. And I'm thankful that we're being held accountable to our own safety and our own health during this time such as this. And maybe today you're, again, not going to church and you're home listening. I want to thank you for allowing Vital Ministries to be a part of your Sunday morning. But before we jump in today, just a few things just to remind you about. All the guys out there be listening to this. On the devotionals on Monday, I am live on a podcast speaking to you. A little bit different of what we've done in the past, but just a way of being in touch in a tangible way with, at the same time, keeping the social distancing, the separation that we've been required to. But I hope that as you watch, I give you a good word, a word of inspiration on Monday that helps you out through your week. We have incredible, great four other writers that are writing for Vital Men. And I just encourage you, jump onto that. You can go to our website, vitalministries.org, and pick that up, and just some really, really good stuff. My wife writes for the women. She is doing a fantastic job. You ladies out there, an inspirational nugget. It's short, it's sweet, but man, does it pack a power. So I just encourage you on that as well. So this is something that we're doing in the midst of what is going on in our lives today. Also, too, we're still hopeful for this motorcycle trip we're going to take with the men June 4, 5, and 6. We will stay in touch. We'll be watching as things continue to play out in our nation of whether or not we can hold that event. But we're hopeful that that can happen. We're going to go to Lois Hills and drive those Lois Hills. Stay away from a lot of the crowd. Stay away from the big cities. But a great time for us men to get out and to enjoy nature. But with that being said, life, without a doubt, has changed. I actually would have been preaching at the Newton Correctional Facility as well this morning. But I haven't seen those men for over a month. And I miss going in and seeing them. But I know in time that those things will change, and I know they are expectant with my return, and we just have a great time together. But who would have ever guessed that our economy would be so drastically impacting, changing the lives of millions of Americans being out of work, that our freedoms have been slowly taken away, and isolation of friends and family wouldn't be allowed. It's things... This Palm Sunday is different. One that we will remember like we remember 9/11 when that happened. But this will be a time that we will never forget. I have my kids, they literally live out of town. My son and his wife and family, they live in Florida. And just only way of getting with them is by phone call. My daughter and her family and my grandkids, they're also out of state. But I call them. We do Facebook. We do FaceTime in order to get glimpses of them. And my daughter's husband, and in the tragedy of things that have happened, he has lost his job, and he was told there would be no return. All of us have been hit in some way because of the COVID-19 virus, a troubled time. See, Palm Sunday will take a whole new look on for us today. And most of us, as we listen today, will be listening to sermons either on the radio, from YouTube, or on TV. One of the quotes that Thomas Paine really brings things into reality, he says this. He says, these are times that try men's souls. Man, isn't that so true? Even though today our church plans have been altered, God's plans have never changed. Some say that God is bringing his vengeance of this sin on the world, that he is angry with us. Some will fall into this trap of what I believe is absolutely untruth. Some might be asking on this Palm Sunday, and to be, what is going on? Why is this happening? And this is my thoughts, as to be honest, as I ask the big question. And God can take those big questions of our wives. But here's what I think. I believe what goes on in the world is no surprise to God. That's for sure. I also believe that the virus is due to the brokenness of our world that we live in. And out of that brokenness, epidemics happen. But let's look at what the good is happening on this Palm Sunday. As the lives of we have been impacted, but let's look at what's happening at the goodness of God and what He's doing. Number one, families are together. Mom and dads are eating family meals together with their kids, not just on Sunday, not just once a week, but now they're sitting down and having family time, eating meals together. There's also, they're finding other ways to enjoy each other. They're playing games, reading, going on walks, and some are learning all together to play together with their children as mom and dads. Number two is this, as we serve the servicelessness of other people, the service of oneness. The world has been impacted. Every continent on the globe has it, yet we are helping each other. We've seen Italians and Spaniards singing on Facebook. We've seen the Asians helping with each other with the aftermath, even sending things for us as Americans. Mankind is laying down their arms to help one another. We don't hear about any fighting or adversaries of other countries. We are banding together, not only as a nation, but globally. I don't know about you, but that encourages my heart this morning. Number three, churches are uniting. I'm talking about denominations. Theological lines are being dropped in order to help each other. They are caring for God's people as opposed to looking inwardly at what is it focused at hand. So many of the issues that were being troubled, we don't hear about them now, do we? We're seeing denominations, churches uniting together in one accord and proclaiming Jesus Christ. Number four, people are showing kindness. This week in our own city, we have a gentleman by the name of Merle Mann, a good friend of mine, and he takes his llamas to the assisted living so people on the inside can have joy and happiness. Good job, Merle, if you're listening this morning. I've heard countless stories of people paying for someone else's gas, paying for the food. I've seen cities giving out gift cards to communities and caring for each other. This is all good that has come out of a crisis in our nation and also globally. Number five, I love this one, sharing their faith. I've heard more people talk about Jesus and share about their faith more than ever. I've watched Garth Brooks and his wife share about their faith and giving people hope, singing through music. And to be honest, I remember as in the closing song, Trisha Yearwood, she sings this, "Somewhere Over the Rainbow." I don't know about you, but I fought back the tears. We are all looking for the rainbow. See, God gives us a time like this so that we can celebrate Palm Sunday, even in the midst of what's going on. And I hope these words today give you a word of encouragement, a way that there is hope. Yes, Palm Sunday looks different, but I tell you what, folks, this Palm Sunday, I promise you will remember. So maybe today you're at home and you're able to open up your Bibles. We're going to go to the book of John. I've been loving that. I've been teaching on that a little bit. But this, I think John does an incredible job of sharing with us this morning about what Palm Sunday looked like back in the time of Christ. So we're going to look at John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19 this morning. And we're going to get a little bit of a glimpse of what happened then. And at the same time, how it impacts us today in 2020. So let's read what God's word says to us this morning, starting with verse 12. It says this, "The next day, the news that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down to the road to meet him. And they shouted, 'Praise God, blessing on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that was said, 'Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt.' His disciples didn't understand at the time that this was the fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead. And they were telling others about it. That was the reason so many went to meet him, because they heard about his miraculous sign. Then the Pharisees said to each other, 'There's nothing we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him.'" So my first point for us this morning is point number one, he still enters the city. See, the word that Jesus was entering into the city of Jerusalem spread like wildfire. It spread at a rapid race, and he came from the east, going to a small town of Bethpage to the top of Mount Olives that overlooked the city of Jerusalem. You can read more about that in Matthew chapter 21, starting with verse 1, as how he literally came into the city, coming from the top of Mount Olives. I've walked that trail that possibly that Jesus might have taken, or at least has seen the ground that he actually walked on. Folks, I got to admit to you, it's breathtaking. It overwhelms you in the midst of the moment to stand on Mount Olives and look to the west and see the city of Jerusalem. You see the city, not as how Jesus would have seen it, with the exception of the Western Wall, but it's something that you can't explain. It's something that just overcomes you in the moment for those that believe in Christ. See, you see most of the city even today and it's busy, narrow streets. People all over the place. Matter of fact, the nations are there. You will see and hear people and their voices around the globe. They will be standing, shouting, "Hosanna to the King of Kings," singing different songs, even though it's in a different dialect, a different tongue. But you can recognize the song itself by the words that they're speaking because you know you understand the music. It's exceptional. And if you've ever had a chance to go over to Israel and see that, you know those of you who have can honestly say, I get exactly what you're saying this morning, Mike. But for us today, we won't see busy streets or possibly anyone else but our spouse and our children. We'll not sing hosannas in our churches or raise palm branches in the declaration of Jesus' entrance. We are held at bay and being watchful of gatherings. But that doesn't change what today represents. I believe that Jesus is up to something incredible. A chance for him to be with us in moments like this. How about if you went outside today? If you can praise and thank Jesus in your own yard. You can go out and read the gospel and share the great story of what happened on that Palm Sunday with your family. Hey men, I encourage you to do this. Read in all four gospels, give an account of Jesus' triumphal entry. What if you took the opportunity to you speak to your children, you speak to your wife, praising Jesus and hailing him as the King of Kings? A true moment that I promise you that your kids will never forget. A moment of time that will hold stillness. If it's you and your spouse, turn on some praise music and worship together. Sit in the presence of Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to flow in and through you. What an opportunity. Had it not been for this moment and the changes that have happened, we would not have been given this opportunity. Maybe you're home alone today. I encourage you to do this. Call someone. Share a praise of how Jesus has given you hope in the midst of COVID-19. You might be that very light or that ray of hope for someone struggling with lost hope, depression, or even loneliness themselves. What a great opportunity. I sit in my area, in my neighborhood. I have people like that who have lost their spouses and they're at home alone. But what a moment to remember in your city of where you live. Last week I had two friends who drove from Prairie City to give me a book that encouraged me. We held the 6-foot barrier, didn't hug or shake hands, but we affirmed to each other our friendship. And I tell you what, they drove all the way and it was a moment and it meant the world to me. See, I believe Jesus wants us to enter the city today, reminding us to keep our eyes on him, that we will in fact get through this, that revival is coming to our communities, that he loves us and he knows us by name. And I want you to hear that. I want to say that again. He loves you and he knows you by name. I think that as he thought about this time, as he entered the city of Jerusalem, that Jesus looked at the Jewish people with incredible compassion. See, you only love when you come to die so that they might have life and be free of their sins. See, folks, that's the kind of Jesus who enters a city. Not only the city that was in Jerusalem, but our cities. the places where we live. He still desires to enter in. But see, folks, we got to have the opportunity to sing the hosannas and do the praise, even though we cannot be in our own churches today. But we can do that in the privacy of our homes, in the privacy of the yards that we mow, in the privacy of the very neighborhoods we live in. Man, what an opportunity of a Palm Sunday to be declared of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Which brings me to point number two, is don't be afraid. We see in verse 15 the words from the Bible saying again, don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Your king is coming on a donkey colt. See, folks, I don't know about you, but never before in Facebook have people have been more fearful in the times that we're seeing now. On Wednesday, a rumor went out going around that the governor was going to shut down the state of Iowa. One of my suppliers called me and said we need to get the rest of the next house ordered before it was too late. To be honest, I fell into the fear. I ordered the lumber. I called our guys who were in another community. I was fearful. I even called my wife to listen to the governor at 2:30 to see if what the accusation, if the conversation or if the statement was literally true. See, most of our media keeps us getting more fearful. Yes, they got to speak to us about the news, but fear sells. Let's be honest. The end is here. My grandparents, they lived both through the Great Depression and both World Wars. They saw some incredible tough times. My grandma said that they thought as the World War II was going on, that the world was truly coming to an end. Yet they persevered through the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember 9/11 and its aftermath. America returned to church for 6 weeks. And then we went back to living life with Jesus in the rear view mirror. We overcame our fear, but the problem is as we overcame, we forgot and we went back to life. See, the Bible tells us 365 times to fear not. What if fear was a cause to pause? A invitation to stop and seek Jesus. We are living in pivotal times, folks. People are pausing and looking for direction, no greater than I have ever seen in my lifetime. Looking for courage to hold on. You can see it in the look of our governor, in the governor of New York. You can see the fear in his eyes asking for help for his city of New York has been greatly one of the greatest cities that has been impacted in our nation. Folks, I want you to hear this. You might be thinking, I'm crazy. See, there's value in fear. There's nothing to be ashamed of, ignored, or even condemned. Matter of fact, it's a healthy emotion as long as it's redirected to looking to Jesus. It's a perfect time to pray, to trust in the Lord. My kids in Colorado, they lost their jobs this week. My daughter called me and was fearful. She cried and didn't know what to do. She called for Dad's help. Folks, to be honest with you, this was a tough one because I couldn't fix it. There was absolutely nothing that I could do. See, they live in Colorado Springs, a fair distance from me, and I obviously live in Iowa. Yet I wanted to help them in some way, and yes, I was going to help them monetarily. But what she needed most was that she was looking for hope in the midst of her fear. I said to her, sweetheart, let's pray. Let's right now. Let's ask God for his guidance and wisdom in the days ahead. I tell you what, that phone call, it was a special moment. I reminded her that although I live a distance away, but I wanted her to remember the toughness that I experienced. I remember in the 80s when construction was probably with the toughest part I have ever seen in my entire life. Interest rates were soaring. I also lived through the 2008 recession. It was a tough time. But with Jesus' help, we persevered. I hope that what I experienced in my past would help my daughter and those of you listening today, even in 2020, that God has an incredible plan for us and hasn't forgotten us. And that out of our fear, there comes hope. Which brings us to our last point this morning is this. They heard about him. See, the Bible says that the crowds had heard how Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. See, as Jesus was traveling back to Jerusalem to his final visit before his crucifixion, he stops at Bethany to see some of his closest friends. Mary and Martha and Lazarus' brother had fallen sick inside. An incredible thing was happening in the midst of what was going on in his friend's life. It says in the Bible that Jesus waited 2 days before returning. Their friends wanted him to hurry back to heal Lazarus, and they had seen many times of Jesus' miracles, but Jesus delays. He knew Lazarus was going to die, yet he waits. You might be thinking some kind of friend, right? Waiting until he died. See, folks, Jesus had a purpose in the wait. And I'd like to read the account just a little bit to help you understand a little bit. See, Jesus in verse 4, he goes and he says that Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory for this. So Jesus waits for the moment. It says in my Bible that Jesus loved his friends, so he returns. Jesus walks into death and to the friend who was buried at the cemetery. Jesus sees his friends weeping. What does Jesus do? He steps into the moment and he steps into the emotion. Matter of fact, it's recorded that Jesus wept for his friend, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. See, Jesus looks into the eyes of Martha and Mary and says to them, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, and even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die." Then he looks at them and he says this, "Do you believe?" See, Jesus tells them to move the stone away. Let's capture the moment together as what it might have looked like in the cemetery, in the tomb of which Lazarus was buried. Every eye is watching. Faith is at an all-time low, weeping and crying all around. What does Jesus do? Jesus looks up to heaven. He thanks God for hearing his prayer that goes on to tell Lazarus to come out. And he does. Jesus tells them to unwrap his friend and to let him go. And because of that miracle, it filled the city. They heard about him today. Today on Palm Sunday, folks, death is all around us. The virus has hit over 1 million+ people around the globe. Today is the day for people to hear about who Jesus is. Yes, some have died. Some have looking to the promise of what's truth. See, folks, Jesus truly is the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in him promises that they will never die. My question to you this morning, do you believe? We will overcome this trouble in the midst of what we're living, but we can still sing Hosanna to the King Jesus. He's still the answer in our broken world. No president, no world leader, no church leader can fix it. See, Jesus, he is our hope today, folks. My question to you is, do you believe? See, we get these opportunities in the midst of these moments to share about our faith, about who Jesus is, about what he's done, and what the things that he has helped us. Matter of fact, this past week on Friday, I had the opportunity. I went back to the job site, and we've got all the subcontractors there, the plumbers, the electricians, the HVAC folks, and some of our men are on the job site. We have a job to get done. We have a house to build. And in the midst of the chaos and the things that's going on, and I'm very blessed because a lot of those men that I'm speaking about have faith. And I'm encouraged today as I walked on that job site to realize that they knew that the hope truly came, even in the midst of what was going on around us, that Jesus is the hope. He is the answer. See, moments like this, folks, it really comes to the place of where we ask the question, do you believe? Do you have faith? Can you trust Jesus in the midst of this coronavirus, in the midst of what is going on around you. Folks, I think we have a great light, great promise. People are working hard. Our nation is working together to find the answer to a possible cure. We need to be praying for them, praying for guidance and wisdom as their hands work to find that potential cure, that potential thing that will throw down this virus that has impacted all of our lives. Folks, today is Palm Sunday. Today's the challenge of, do you believe it? Do you believe of what Jesus did back then, he can still do in 2020? I believe he can. Will you pray with me this morning? Dear Jesus, again, we just want to thank you for this opportunity to come before you to ask you for help. Ask you in the midst of our troubled hearts, in the midst of our aches and our pains, and maybe some of those of us, we actually have family members or friends that are battling this coronavirus. Lord, we pray in your name for healing. We pray for not only healing of the virus, but healing of our own souls today. That you are the one that we still hail King Jesus. As the city once did in Jerusalem, that our cities still do today. That we hail you for who you are. That you love us. You care about us. You hear every prayer. I pray for those that maybe even be listening today that have not called you Lord Jesus. It says in my Bible that all you got to do is ask him to forgive you of your sins. And it's a promise that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And to call him Lord, to call him your Savior, that's all it takes. And then a life begins, the transition of the transformation of change. Lord, thank you for being a Lord that does those things in our lives. And we thank you, Jesus, for who you are. And how you've blessed us. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, I hope that today, as we talk about Palm Sunday, that is a time of rejoicing. That you can find moments in your own life today, in the isolation, in the solitude, maybe simply with your family, that you can go out and praise the King of Kings. Next week, we're going to be talking about Easter. We're going to talk about how it's not only impacted back in the time of Christ, but we serve a resurrected King in 2020. You won't want to miss it. I thank you for listening today. Stay safe. Stay healthy. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.